Being a woman is an impossibly amazing thing, but it also comes with some impossibly hard things sometimes too. In this episode, I dive into what Allison is doing as a content creator and how she is empowering women in a whole new way. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your videos to YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth. So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to the episode of the Women of Video Podcast. I'm super excited to be up in your earballs to inspire you, uplift you, and send you off into a successful situation to create badass content for the badass woman that you are. I'm feeling a little feisty because it's International Women's Day. That's when it was when I recorded this on March 8th. Y'all, being a woman is so complicated and has so many feelings and all of the things right now in our world. And we're on this like weird emotional roller coaster of like, we have so many more opportunities than we ever had in the past. But also like Handmaid's Tale seems like just one catastrophe away. And we have to find ways to flawlessly and effortlessly like pretend it doesn't exist and continue to create and do things. So this conversation I have with Allison, we dive deep into some really crazy topics and ideas and really deep stuff. Like we both talk about like how we had to pivot and accept some things about motherhood and how we dealt with it with our partners and pivoting our brands away and figuring out what we want to create and how we're going to do it and what success looks like along the way. And so I don't want to preload this too much because it's really good on its own, but just know that you can go follow Allison over at womenofvideo.com. We have all of her links to what's going on and know that you are an impossibly amazing person doing impossibly amazing things. I'm so grateful to know you and be a part of your day, your life, your week in whatever it is that we are doing. So without further ado, let's go get hyped with Allison. Welcome to the podcast, Allison. What those of you listening do not know is that Allison was kind enough to like win her back. We had like a whole weird schedule conflict snafu in 2023, but it's worked out for the good. And so we're going to go on a journey today on all the things that Allison is doing. So welcome to the pod.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell us, what do you create on the internet?
I create inspirational stories about women who have essentially done phenomenal things. I don't know. Can we swear on this or no?
You go nuts, please. Sometimes swearing is like the appropriate response that is needed sometimes.
Yes.
Well, women do cool shit. Women are the bomb.
Yes, exactly. So I highlight women who essentially kick ass, and I want to be an inspirational page for women who are doing hard shit and who need to be reminded that they can do it and that they're capable.
What's so funny is that we're actually recording this pod on International Women's Day. Total fluke accident, but I feel like it's like very appropriately like themed for today. Why do women still in our day and era have such separation and struggles and all of this stuff that keeps us from moving forward?
I think a lot of it goes back to society expectations. I had my own journey of unraveling and coming into my own. I was raised very much with a heavy religious point of view, where women were created to submit and be helpmates and be moms. And I deconstructed from all of that. And out of that, I had to really go back to my family and establish very strong boundaries that this is my life. I'm going to live it a certain way, and you don't get to have a say in that. Like, you lived your life. And so now I'm like fully transitioning to like how women have had to have that same conversation, that same mindset throughout history. And the more stories I find, because I try to highlight women that are a little less known, the more astonished I am at just in some ways how little we've accomplished. You know, like we're still having the same arguments that we should have, but that we should have finished a long time ago. And so I think a lot of it still stems from society expectations, from very traditional roles of where women should be, how they should act, where their place is. And I think in general, today we need a place where we can go and be reminded that women are kicking ass, women are saying no, women are overcoming, and we can use that to build inspiration in our own lives.
I constantly say women are impossibly amazing. So that's like the thing, like it's like the saying for the show. I've had it in my email signature for years. And it actually was originally said by our 10th guest, Amy Landino, someone I'm a big fan of. But like there's no truer statement. Like women are impossibly amazing because we have to do impossibly amazing hard things all the time. And we're literally designed to do that stuff. And I think almost it almost feels some days like we are constantly derailed and diminished by men because they're afraid of our power and capabilities.
I agree with that, and I think that we're often undervalued. We're still, you know, you. I don't know if you listen to Tori, the feminist podcast on money, financial feminist, but she's constantly giving stats about how women are still typically underpaid, undervalued in corporate, and yet we keep coming back. Right, we keep dreaming bigger. And for me, I honestly didn't have very many dreams outside of being a mom because that was kind of my framework. And something that completely transformed our life was 5 years ago, my husband and I sold everything. We moved into an RV and we traveled nomadically. And that was very life-changing for me personally, because I got space from the community I had always grown up around. I got away from the church and my family, and I really got to see and experience how other people are living around the country and really start to formulate my own identity and the type of culture that I wanted for my kids, especially for my girls, and really started opening up my mindset towards like, what do I want the rest of my life to look like? I love being a mom, but I want to be more than that, right? And I don't know if you've ever had this, but I kind of lost my identity in the laundry and changing diapers, and kind of said, fuck that. Like, I want more.
1,000%. I know for me, my journey around motherhood was really complicated. I grew up a latchkey kid, and so when my husband and so did my husband, and when we were talking about like when we were getting engaged and like, you know, going through the hard conversations, like, okay, do you want kids? Do you want to have kids? Like, where do you want to live? What do you want to do? Those things. We talked about having kids, like, okay, we need to have one of us at home. It turned out that we were like, we're gonna let that be me because of like birthing them, breastfeeding them, like those things, like they literally need your body to survive situation. And he at the time was like doing engineering, and we ultimately actually ended up going into the military. But I literally had to go through therapy and like embrace the phrase of like it is okay to not want to just be a mom. Because it's not that there's anything wrong with those people that are like really great at being moms and like they're good to do that all the time. And I applaud those women because we need those people as well. Just like the same with dads, like people are just meant to be dads and they do a great job with that. My husband does that now. But for me, I couldn't. I was like, I felt like my brain was like deteriorating and deflating, and I wasn't able to do the things. And I found myself being really depressed and really just bothered by the mundaneness of having another person not only entirely depend on you, like the touching, the caring, like there's not space for yourself. And I found that by I needed something for my own to keep myself happy and stimulated for my own self away from motherhood, away from being a wife and a homemaker. And so I totally understand this. And I think that again, this conversation is not talked about a lot. It's okay to not to want to be a mom at all. And it's okay to not want to be just a mom. It's okay to have kids and figure out a plan to make sure that they can be healthy, safe, and secure while you still have something that you do to identify as self.
Yes, absolutely. And thankfully for you, it sounds like you had a husband who was totally supportive in understanding of that need and desire, right? Because not every woman has that.
No. He is supportive now.
Okay.
My son's a bachelor, turned 10. My daughter is 8 and a half. And when I had kind of come to him with this, I was in this like mom thing for like 2.5-ish years. He had like just deployed. It was this whole thing. And it was almost like I slapped him and punched him in the face and was like, I might as well have said like, I hate these fucking kids. I'm leaving you, like with the way that like it had been done. It was like, no, it's not that. And so there's understanding now, and it makes sense now that we both have gone on like these, like this really incredible journey of like growth and hardship and coming out of it and things like that. He obviously now is on board with it. And he's like, go make money, do the things. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to play with my video games and build computers and take care of our home. Like he is super on board with the flow of our life now, but it takes time and it takes work and it takes multiple conversations. It takes multiple understandings. It takes figuring out like, what does the give and take within this and giving it time to work. When you're in it, it sucks. It's hard.
Yeah.
And you're just like, is this ever going to end? And the problem is that no, it never ends. It just changes. It's kind of like being a parent. Being a parent is always hard. It's just what you're doing changes along the way.
Yeah.
And so I think it's that like understanding comes with time and communication and compromise, I think, on both parts, like when you're talking about like a coupled situation.
Yeah. We had kind of a similar situation because, you know, we were very much into this, like, Todd is my husband's name. He's the leader and I'm the helpmate. And then I kind of came back with like, I don't want this to be like a submissive situation. And ultimately we worked through it. You know, I respect him. He respects me. But I think initially those conversations felt risky because we were essentially kind of kicking the legs from what we built our foundation on. We were both very religious and committed to, you know, our belief and faith system. And then we kind of like took that away. But the fact that like we were able to travel through that together, like we credit our marriage being even stronger because we were able to have that difficult situation. And because we were willing to work through, what does your role look like now? What does my role look like now? Because I was very honest with him. I'm like, I want to start building a business and I don't want to be roadblocked from doing that because I'm worrying about who has clean clothes to wear the next day or who has. And so, those were hard conversations, but he ultimately get it. And in return, my husband's an entrepreneur too. I can resonate so much more with him now. Like I just get where he's coming from too. And so I think the last few years have been amazing. Like him helping more with housework and kids. And
I think the best like description I can describe like where we are socially, like with like families like yours and mine. And I'm sure there's lots of others out there. Hopefully people are still listening. We're the ones that are breaking down generational traumas and generational stereotypes. And it's not that those are wrong. It's just that in some cases and for some people, they just don't work anymore and they don't make sense anymore. And so an evolution and an adaption has to come into play in order for our individual happiness and then our family success to really happen.
Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back.
And so I think this is a good opportunity for us to transition back into what we're talking about with like your content. How have you transitioned out of what you were doing, and why are you doing what you're doing now and all that stuff?
Sure. So initially I started my social media account documenting our RV travels, and I got a lot of traction out of that. It was more of a lifestyle, you know, how to, this is how we travel. These are my kids, us going on these epic adventures. But there came a point when I looked at my husband, I'm like, I don't want to do RV life anymore. I'm over it. We kind of checked off all of our bucket list items. And my husband's like, yeah, I'm ready to transition out. And around that time, I had shared a very vulnerable post about basically about the difficult relationship with my mom. And for lack of a better term, my mom was very narcissistic. And so that did not go over well. That post got back to some siblings and family members, and it just created this huge fight. And out of that, I was like, this is my next direction. In real time, I'm going to be talking about what it's like to grow up being a people pleaser and now documenting my journey of essentially finding my voice with family and essentially saying like, hey, I've built this social media account for the last 3.5 years. Like, this is not a moral issue. You don't get to come in and say like, I can't talk about the relationship I have with my mom. And I did that for, gosh, 6 or 7 months and had some incredible growth and ton of people, women especially, coming to me. It's such a huge issue. People pleasing, feeling like we're held back because of expectations, either spoken or unspoken by family. But at some point, the conversation for me felt more draining than empowering. And I looked at my husband and I'm like, I don't know. This may be a big mistake, but I just can't talk about this anymore. Because at some point it felt like I was giving power to the family that I essentially said, we need to go no contact. And so my husband's like, well, you've always been fascinated by women and true stories of challenges that they've overcome. Why don't you talk about that? And so that's what I've been doing the last 6 months. And I really think that one journey led to another. Like, if I hadn't physically distanced myself from my family and from people that knew me, I would have never started a social media account. I would have been too embarrassed or worried about what people thought. But just like physically being away, even though I knew family and friends were, you know, friends back home were following me, I didn't care. And then when I took it a step further to essentially, like, I don't want to say expose my family, but just be very raw and vulnerable about some of the struggles I had growing up, it was like the floodgates were open for me. And it's like, okay, it felt, that initial post felt like I was jumping off a cliff, but there were so many of my followers that were right there to catch me by saying, your story is so similar to mine. Thank you so much for sharing. And really that sharing time, I realized, was more for me healing and just, again, exercising my voice as a form of people pleaser. Like, I never confronted anybody to now, like, okay, I want to do something positive. And I feel like the allowance I gave myself has now given me the confidence to share other women's stories. Like, I'd be kind of a hypocrite if I didn't feel like I had overcome a huge challenge in my own life to now I have the confidence to talk about these other women, and these other women are incredible, and the stories, they're getting lost in history, or they're just not highlighted enough, you know. And I've had some videos go viral just this last week, and the conversations, I'm like, I'm just staying out of it. Like, this was supposed to be a very inspiring, empowering story. And now it sometimes, you know, it just goes to show you that, like, women can do incredible things, and still there's naysayers or critics saying, oh, well, you know, this or that. So,
yeah. No, I love what you said about how I have gone through this thing. And so now I feel like I have room and space and understanding to be able to share the stories of other women who continue to inspire me. And I'm presuming also motivates you to keep going.
Yeah.
What you're doing, though, is so incredibly interesting, because you're talking about, like, you're educating. You're talking about what women in history have done and the impact has made. I'm very curious, what is the brand building and business building that is able to happen from that?
So I'll be honest, I don't totally know. I haven't completely figured that out. I don't know what, honestly, a year looks like from now. I've, like I mentioned, I switched content back in this fall. And initially my story formats did really well, and then they just tapered off. Like, I have over 32,000 followers, and I was getting like 1,200 views, maybe 4,000 views. And so the biggest thing for me, and I'm learning this as an entrepreneur, is solve one problem at a time. My husband's been so good at, like, reminding me that. Solve one problem at a time. And I'm like, my biggest problem has been views and growing. And so about 2.5 weeks ago, I changed, or maybe, I don't know, since in the time since I signed up for this podcast, I completely changed the format of how I was storytelling. And now I'm getting 60,000 plus views on half of the videos that I post. And it's been a game changer. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. It wasn't the story. It was how I was telling the story. I found a format that now works. And so my next step is just to do more of that, and to now go and reach out to brands and do brand collabs, because that's the biggest way that I can make money. What that looks like, my first, when I've been thinking about it, is to highlight brands that are women owned and go to them and say, I do stories highlighting women. I would like to highlight your story to my audience, and somehow do, like, maybe affiliate, or maybe it's content that they feel like they can use on theirs. But honestly, I haven't completely figured that out.
And I don't, and it's okay. And I think, it's important to, it's not always about sharing like finalized success stories. Now, where people are at, like, oh, I'm making six figures, and yeah, my husband's quit his job. Like, not every story, yes, can be that way. And I think it's important, but you're building something that's new and different. And also, it's a space that a lot of people haven't cracked yet. We're getting really good over in our interview, but I want to take a minute to remind you that we now have a new home for the Women of Video community. You can head over to Patreon right now, and we have the link in our show notes that you can go find it there, where we're going to be able to have after show information. We're going to have chats. We're going to have information, and just come together to answer questions and connect and support each other as creators. This whole creator thing can be really confusing and can be really lonely. So let's come together to support each other like the badass women that we are. Head over to patreon.com/womenofvideo to get started now. I've been following this girl on TikTok, and she does like women's sports journalism on TikTok. Like, I watched this really cool video that she did yesterday where she was talking about the professional women's hockey team, how it's a beer company made them new jerseys, because what would always happen is that when they're playing hockey, they're crushing, they're kicking butt, but their names get covered by their ponytails out of the back of their helmets. And so what they did is that for the marketing campaign is they moved everyone's names to the bottom of the jersey with the number, and then the logo that they have at the top, and the wording on it is cover up our name so we can see yours, kind of a thing, like that, like really. And they're like, it's so good. And like, they're releasing it today again, International Women's Day, like at the first game. Like, it's this whole super cool,
yeah,
like women empowerment thing, like really unique women's problems, and something that like none of them care because they're just like playing hockey, but it's this extra layer of consideration. Yes. And it's super cool. And I share that because she's building this brand. She's got like hundreds of thousands of followers on TikTok talking about women in sports. And I'm fairly certain she also is not doing anything. I'm trying to get her to be on the pod. She's not doing anything to build business from, because for her, I just want to share this information because it's super cool and it's super great. And like, we can figure out the business part of it later, because I just want to share this information because I love what it is and how it makes me feel and what it does and stuff. And so there's nothing wrong with being a creator in that way.
Yeah. And just to clarify, like, I was doing brand deals, and what, like, when we were RVing, I was doing all that. When I was talking to about my mom content, I was doing all that. But when I switched content about highlighting women's stories, it was taking me like 11, 12 hours to pump out one story, because I was doing all this like split screen editing. I felt like I didn't have any bandwidth to like, okay, now I'm going to like hustle the side of like reaching out to brands, and my views weren't good, which again, like, that shouldn't matter, but they weren't good. And so my confidence dropped. So now that I'm creating these videos that are getting better views, but it's taking me two and a half hours to create them, I suddenly feel like, okay, I have bandwidth to now think about monetization and collabs and how do we make this a stronger brand? What is the 1 year goal, the 2 year, the five, the 10? Like, I think that's the biggest thing that I've shifted in my own content creating journey, is it's not how many followers can I get in a year. It's what does this space look like in 10 years? And like, what resources do we want? Like, that's the bad thing about social media. Only building a business on social media is that you get caught up very much in these superficial metrics of likes, views, follower count, because you know within 24 hours, like, if your video is going to do well or not, pretty much. But I am really trying to reframe my mindset. I want to do email marketing. I want to maybe one day have a clothing product, or I don't know, a mindset product. It's just, I haven't even, other than like thinking that way, like there's no plans right now.
And I love that. I thank you so much for sharing where you were in your journey. And like, I was here and it wasn't right. It didn't feel good. And now I'm here trying to figure it out. But you love what you're doing and you love the impact that you're having. And I think that has so much intense value. What would you say to creators? Because you and I are on different, like, a different sides of creating. I am bullish. I'm like, okay, gotta have a business. Like, gotta know what we're selling. We have to have like our digital products or our services. Like let YouTube and content creation support a brand and business, right? Like, that's a lot of my thing, but that's just because of where my experience is. I do not have experience in this idea of like, I really want to talk about this and I really want to do this. And I don't necessarily have a monetization plan attached to it, but I want to just do this first. What advice do you have for women to help them navigate that along the journey so that they can ultimately find success?
Great question. I think the biggest thing I would tell them is if you think it's going to take you a year to grow like double the time. Or if you think, okay, in 3 months I should know, double your time horizon. I think often, and this was my mistake in the beginning too, is that you try to create multiple types of content. And by multiple, I mean, I was always talking about RVing, but sometimes I would do video with just text over it. And sometimes I would do video with a voiceover. That is going to be really hard to see growth. So what I did recently was just the stories of women, is I said, for the next 9 or 10 videos, I'm only going to do this style. Because if you can condense the type of content you're making, you can essentially get really good at creating one piece of content, and you can start to look for variables of why a piece didn't do well or not. And what I see a lot of times is new content creators, they're just trying to get the views or the attention, and so their content's all over the place. To some degree, you want to be very consistent, and this is who I am, this is what I'm talking about, but I'm someone who's changed content 3 times. You can absolutely do it. I had success now in each 3 types of content, but I also, in my storytelling with women, I started that back in August. I'm just now seeing success with that. I'm just now growing. And so I think, like, expect it to be hard. Expect it to take a really long time. Mr. Beast has this thing where people ask him, like, how do you make your great video? And he says, make 100 videos first and then come back and ask me the same question. And he says nobody ever comes back to ask him the question, because either they figured it out by 100 videos or they've given up. And so I think there's just this, we see videos blow up and it's a fluke, but to play the long game, you really need to be consistent in one style of content.
I love that. That's incredibly helpful advice for sure. We're going to have the links to all of Allison's stuff over on our show notes at the Women of Video, where you can follow her journey and learn about all the awesome women that she is inspiring, and follow her journey as well. Thank you so much for your time today, Allison. Yeah. It was amazing to chat with you. I'm so glad we locked this down. Remember, you and everyone listening are impossibly amazing. Until next week, peace.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode, so make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.